Good morning, everybody. Pastor John here. So excited to be with you. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to have a Bible study this morning as we're talking about the series of Christ. Go ahead and get out your Bible. We'll pray here in just a minute. Open to Matthew 16. It's where we're going to be starting at. I got a crew with me this morning here at the house, and we're going to be jumping in the Word together. Sure do miss you, love you, hope you're doing well, hope you're still walking by faith and in the Word, and soon, I can't wait, when we do get back to church. We've been doing some reno at the church, and so we got some new bathrooms, and they look amazing. It's going to be awesome, and also done some, the wall has come down in the sanctuary, and so we're doing some new work in the sanctuary, and I hope you'll like the new things that we have done. It's going to be really cool. So open up your Bible, Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start in prayer and jump into the Word as we talk about of Christ. So Father, in Jesus' name, we speak peace to this house and every house represented here. And Lord, we ask for your help. Help us to focus. Holy Spirit, help us to focus on your Word and on you, to seek you, to trust you, to grow in our understanding and to grow in knowledge of who you are, knowledge of your Word. And we just trust you, God. And we believe that you're working all things out for good. And we ask you to speak to us and make the Word come off the page into our hearts and into our minds. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 16 is where we're going to start. And this morning, I kind of want to talk about, as we're talking about the Of Christ series, I want to talk about revelation knowledge of Christ. Revelation knowledge is really important, and we'll just unpack some of this stuff. And guys here in the group and girls in the group, when y'all have questions or different things, you know, just jump in, interrupt me, and love to hear some of your perspective. As a matter of fact, if one of y'all would read for us, starting in verse 13 and read all the way down through verse 19. So Matthew 16, starting in verse 13 and just read all the way down through verse 19. And when you got it, say, got it.
Got it.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, and one of them prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in the earth will be loose in heaven."
All right. Thank you so much. I love this scripture. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he asks a question. And Jesus is a master teacher, and I know we've looked at some of these scriptures before earlier in this series, but I want to go back and just be reminded of this, because when Jesus asked a question, he's not asking the question because he's confused. He's asking the question because we are confused, or because the disciples are confused. And so he starts with the disciples said, "Hey, who?" Like, if I'm Jesus and you're the disciples, he's like, "Hey, who?" The other people say that I am. Now, I don't want your opinion. I don't want to hear what other people have told you that I am. but if Jesus asking, he says, who do they say, the people you run with, who do they say that I am? And the reason he's doing that is just because he's filtering through what's lingering in their head and in their heart. Many times people live as a prisoner to the opinions of other. And instead of walking in revelation knowledge from God, we've got to filter out. People live by the opinions of others. And so Jesus is trying to get to the point of revealing something. He's trying to set the stage so that the runway is open so that heaven, there's an open heaven, and so that the disciples can receive fresh revelation. But in order to do it, he starts kind of prying open the opinions of others. And notice they said all biblical answers, Elijah, John the Baptist, you know, one of the prophets, all biblical answers, but all wrong. So just because somebody's quoting the Bible doesn't mean it's right. Mm-hmm. And so then he changes. He asks the next question. Who am I to you? He gets precise. And then Peter, we don't know how long it took, but Peter, you know, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, immediately recognizing where the answer came from, said, flesh and blood, meaning another person didn't tell you that. You didn't get that by tradition. You got that by revelation. And Jesus recognized, Peter, you got it. Like, this is, you got it. You now understand who I am, and my Father revealed to you who I am. And that's the building place. Because right after that, Jesus says, now you, in response to that revelation, it's almost like Jesus recognizes Peter's antenna and his ability to receive revelation from heaven. And so Jesus meets him at that point of revelation and says, now that you have the ability to hear who I am, let me tell you who you are. So revelation knowledge is a two-way street. When we have the ability to hear and see who he is, Christ is, then we begin to understand who we are. And so he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And many people have talked about, what does the rock mean, and what is the rock? And there's the little rock and the big rock and lots of stuff we could talk about. But the main thing I want you to see today is, I believe the rock that he's building the church on, that Jesus is building the church on, is the rock of revelation knowledge. That I will build my church upon people receiving revelation knowledge of who the Christ is. And we know Christ is king of the kingdom, and we know Christ is head of the church. And so what he's saying is, I will build my church. Man, look, I'm your pastor. I love pastoring, but I'm not your head shepherd. Jesus is your head shepherd, Jesus the Christ. He's your source, and your source is your shepherd. And your shepherd, as your source, gives you a resource as a shepherd in Sarah and I to pastor you. So he's your head shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. We are the under shepherds. And we're supposed to feed you and lead you in revelation knowledge of who he is. You know, we're not trying to replace him. We're not trying to be your chief shepherd. We're not trying to substitute him. We're not his substitute teacher. We're here so that you can be more connected to your source. We're not trying to step in the way and become a source to you. So we don't want to be a source, and don't make us a source. We are a resource sent from your source to help you grow in revelation knowledge of who he is. He's building his church. I don't want to be a part of the church that I build. That's overrated. I've done that. I don't want to be a part of that. Too many people building churches, trying to make their name great. I want to be a part of the church he's building. He's king of the kingdom. He's head of the church. And the keys of the kingdom hang on the belt of the church. And so the reality is, the revelation knowledge about the king is the revelation knowledge about Christ, the anointed one. And that revelation knowledge about him, I'll say it this way. When we grow in revelation knowledge about who he is, that's when we begin to grow in revelation knowledge about who he's making us to be. Because the church he's building is not a building. It's not sheetrock. The church he's building is the people. He's building people.
That's right.
And so that's what he's doing. He's building people one revelation at a time. And every revelation is an invitation to experience that reality of his life, to experience his reality. So when you get a revelation about the peace of God, now that peace is being released in your life. When Peter got a revelation of you are the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when Peter sees Christ as the Son of God, he's getting a revelation of sonship. So now he can begin to see himself as a son of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So in this, the other thing is the keys of the kingdom. So the revelation knowledge, Jesus says, this is what I'm building my church on. Revelation knowledge of who I am and who you are in me. That's what he's building his church on. And then he says, and I will give you keys of the kingdom. So the keys of the kingdom are the keys of the kingdom are based upon the revelation knowledge of the king. It's his keys. Keys of the kingdom are keys of the king. So he is delegating his keys to us. That is so cool. That is so awesome. Now, like Carissa, if you go around the church, you'll find keys all over the place because Carissa always loses her keys. She just always does. She just loses, and she probably loses the keys of the kingdom sometimes. Yeah. Notice this, the operation of the keys of the kingdom to have authority to unlock and lock, to bind, to loose, to permit, to forbid, is all based on, they're the keys of the king. And that's why we need a revelation of the king and a revelation of Christ, revelation knowledge of Christ, because if not, and we did have the keys, we wouldn't use them for the same purpose he does. We'd use them for our agenda instead of his assignment. Have you ever been in church that had a different agenda, that had an agenda that wasn't necessarily the assignment of God?
Yeah.
I pastored once, you know, and so I've repented and now I want to be a part of, you know, his assignment. So revelation knowledge, as far as the church is concerned, is so important because he's building the church. He's building a church that is a kingdom minded church that is to have revelation knowledge of the realities of the king, that those realities may be delegated through the keys of the kingdom and released through the church. And the other promise that it says in the scripture is the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They will stand against it. Matter of fact, when you get revelation knowledge, you might as well count it like clockwork. When you get revelation knowledge about the king and you start functioning in one of the keys of the king in your life, you might as well count it like clockwork or like a calendar. There's going to be opposition to that revelation. Mm-hmm. Because they oppose the king. The enemy opposes his kingdom. And they're going to oppose anybody who walks in that kingdom. And so, but here's the promise. Through revelation knowledge. By revelation knowledge, hell will not prevail. Heaven will prevail. And as the church, we're ambassadors of Christ, we're representatives of the kingdom. What I want to do is I want to look real quick to Luke chapter 4. So go to Luke chapter 4 and ask one of y'all to read. And then I want to ask you a couple questions after we read in Luke chapter 4. And this is where we started this whole series. In Luke chapter 4, let me get there myself. This is one of the scriptures where we started this series about Luke 4, 18. And Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, which we're going to get into in a couple weeks. But what I want someone to do, somebody read for me Luke 4, 16 through the first sentence of 18, through the anointed me of 18. So Luke 4, 16 through the first sentence of 18. Somebody read.
He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor."
Okay, so this is Jesus And remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's Jesus the Christ, like John the pastor. So Christ was in Jesus, similar to how Christ is in John, and Christ is in Sarah, and Christ is in you. Okay? So when we get a revelation about Jesus the Christ and Christ in Jesus, we get revelation knowledge about Christ in John. And a lot of times what religious tradition and tradition of men will teach is they'll teach stuff that separates man from God. Like, wow, God's awesome. Look at how God rocks. God's awesome. Look at how wonderful he is. We stink. We're horrible. Look at what he can do. We could never do that. And there's this big gap and this big separation between what God can do and man can do. And that's true, except for the fact that God came in the form of Jesus the Christ to come live inside of man and empower man to do what God can do. Because Jesus didn't come to live as a God. Jesus came to live as a man. And so Jesus lived by faith to teach us how to live by faith. Mm-hmm. See, Christ has always existed. Jesus was born in a manger. So Christ was in Jesus showing us how powerful a man could be, totally submitted to God. And so when we get revelation knowledge about that kind of faith walk, then it encourages our faith walk and it pulls our life up to his reality instead of bringing him down to our miserable reality. So when you look at Jesus the Christ, here's what I want you to see in this context, what we're going to unpack right now about the first part of revelation knowledge is we just talked about Peter getting revelation knowledge of Jesus the Christ. But now we're going to look at Jesus getting revelation knowledge about the Christ. So as you read that in 16 and 17, what stood out to you? What do you see about Jesus and maybe some habits or maybe some things that, what do you see in 16 and 17 that might show where Jesus is getting revelation knowledge about who he really is? You see any patterns or anything? Go ahead and say it if you have some.
Well, he went to the synagogue regularly because it says, as was his custom. Yes. So he submitted to teaching.
Right. So that's point number one right there. Really good. So Jesus, because he is our example, the Bible says he's our example. So in being our example, he was always around the house of God. It was his custom. It was his practice to be in the house where the word of God was. Because they didn't have Bibles like we have today where everyone, you know, we have it on our phones, we have it in our laps. They didn't have copies of the Bible given to everybody. There might be some wealthy people in certain places that had it, but the local synagogues, like their version of the local church house, is where the word was. So they went to church to hear the word. They couldn't ask Siri. They couldn't look it up on Google. So they had to actually put God's word in their heart, not just in their phone. They had to put the word of God into their heart in order to memorize it, to understand it, to meditate on it throughout the day. And so Jesus, the statement that Sarah just read about, it was his custom to go to the synagogue, tells us he was committed to the word of God. Mm-hmm. Because he went to the house where that word was being taught all the time. And it was his custom. It was his practice. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your custom? What's your practice? I think it's so funny. People, when the coronavirus came out and they were saying, you know, it's not wise to go to church. Some of the different people, and look, I'm just going to be honest. Some of y'all ain't going to like this. But some of the people, you start seeing all this kind of stuff on Facebook. Oh, look, they're trying to shut down the church. No, we need to meet. We need to meet. I'm thinking, wow, where was that passion last month when you only showed up to church once? Because you were at the lake or you were working or you just were tired. Where was that commitment and that passion when there was no coronavirus? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be a hero when there's, you know, a bunch of stuff going on. But Jesus, didn't matter what was going on. He was in the house of God. Not in the house like in trying to performance. Because surely you guys have been a part of churches in the past where it was about performance, like you had to be at church or you were looked down upon.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I want to be where the word of God is being talked about. I want to be with other people who are talking about the word. I want to be around places where we're worshiping God. I want to be with the people of God. So just that thing that Sarah read, knowing it was his custom to go to the house of God, tells us he was committed. He was committed in a lifestyle of being in the word of God and being with the people of God. Mm-hmm. Tells us it was his practice. Okay, what else? Anything else jump out at you?
Well, he opened the book.
Yeah.
And got revelation.
Yeah, he opened the book. I love that. I mean, I could preach a whole sermon right there. See, here's the Bible. Here's the Bible. Mm-hmm. He opened the book.
Amen.
Bible works a whole lot better when it's open. It's open. Now look, you've opened a bottle before. You've opened a lot of other things I'm probably not going to say. And if you want heaven to open to you, open the book.
Amen.
Look at somebody else in your room and that's sitting with you, or maybe whatever, or next time you see somebody, and just tell them, open the book. Open the book. And so what happens is you open your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You open a website. You open the book. So, and we know something about this. As Joan said, he opened the book. That jumped out. It jumped out to me too. He opened the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is from Isaiah 61. And so when he opened the book, then the next thing it says is he found the place where it was written.
Mm-hmm.
So he not only opened the book, but he could navigate through it. See, sometimes I can tell people when they haven't had experience in the Bible, because it's like they might be able to open the book. Okay, I open the book, and then it's like just trying to find a word from God, you know, and trying to, you know, walk in something like just, but they don't have experience in how to navigate the word of God. So Jesus opened the book, and he found where it was written, which tells me it wasn't the first time he opened the book.
Right.
Wasn't the first time he opened the book. He found where it's written, which tells me he's standing in his hometown public synagogue. But this context tells me that he had opened this scripture many times before and had put it in his heart, because there's something powerful that he did after he opened the book. First of all, it's his custom to be in the house of God. Then he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. And then here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus found himself in the book. He got revelation knowledge that he is the Christ. And he didn't. That's not the first time he got it. You say, well, he was God. He always knew. He humbled himself, emptied himself, Philippians 2 says, and came in the form of a man. So from a young age, it was his habit to study the word of God. It wasn't just he opened the book or the scroll magically floated over to him. It was his habit to be in the word. Sometimes we get in, like, a difficult situation happens, and we're like, okay, I'm going to be different this time. God, we have a court date coming up, a coronavirus. We have something that's going on. And what ends up happening is we now go to the word and we open the word. And we think because we spend 1 or 2 days reading the word that everything's going to change. Jesus spent his life in the book, reading. You cannot expect to get revelation knowledge by being in the Bible once a month. You got to have regular time, not for performance and to do your spiritual chores, but to have an appetite to say, God, I want to be with you. I want to know who you are so I can know who I am. So that phrase right there where he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, he's reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he personalized it.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, by grace, through faith, he's personalizing it. And he's saying, this is me. Like, this is me. the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I know he's talking way back in the day about Isaiah, but he's talking about me. The Bible is a living book. And I'm telling you, there's not, I don't know of anything greater in this life than to be spending time with the Lord and have the Spirit of God have revelation from his voice jump off the page, and you find yourself in the book. Stuff written from hundreds of years ago, you think, I mean, it's talking about me. Mm-hmm. He's talking about me. And then the cool thing about it was, he probably was thinking about this, meditating on it, and then he had the courage to stand up in his, he was going to travel to his area of the world and be savior of the world. He's going to be savior of the world. But he had to start by declaring his purpose statement in his hometown synagogue. And some of the most difficult places to preach is your own house, mm-hmm. your own family, because they know who you are. You're Joseph's boy. Mm-hmm. But we've got to understand Jesus. He had a lot to overcome because some of the people thought he was just a virgin birth. Oh, you know, all this stuff, you know, that there was a lot of drama around his birth. Mm-hmm. A lot of rumors around his birth. And so see that Jesus had revelation knowledge of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. So before Peter got revelation knowledge of Christ, Jesus got revelation knowledge of Christ. And the way Jesus received revelation knowledge of Christ is the same way we can receive revelation knowledge of Christ, which is by committed to, what's the first thing? Committed to doing what?
Going to church.
Going to church, not just for the social aspect. There's nothing wrong with the social aspect of church. Matter of fact, you know, I miss you guys. There's nothing wrong with that. But going to a church, not to be entertained by the light and music show, not to be entertained like you're at a concert, and not just to socialize because you're bored and you need a friend, but to go because you want to know who he is and who he's called you to be.
Seek him.
You want to seek him. What's the second thing you got to be able to do?
Open the book.
You got to be able to open the book. I mean, in our day and time, that's as easy as opening an app. Yep. And then what's the other thing you got to do?
Find the place where it's written.
You got to find the place where it's written. Oh, Chris, that's so good. You got to find the place. You got to find the place where it's written. So we have to find the place where it is written about us. And God will speak directly to you and give you revelation knowledge. And the thing about revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives you when you're in the habit of being committed to be in the house of God, be around the word of God, receive teaching all the time. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. And as we do that, he begins to speak to us about who he is and who we are in him. Because it's not like just building us up apart from him. It's understanding who he is because he is our life. He is our life. And man, it's just so many people just find their identity in church or in some kind of religious tradition or denomination or in the world or in sin or in whatever. But who we really are comes out of who he really is. And it's just an important thing to jump into. And so revelation knowledge, you've got to be in the house of God. You've got to be able to open the book and find the place where it's written. And then you have to be willing to say what God says. You have to be willing to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that if Jesus the Christ had revelation of the Christ and Peter had revelation of the Christ, so Peter could say in his life, Jesus could say in his life, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me too. All the different things. Then if Peter's life is in Christ and the same anointing that's on Christ is the anointed one, is released into Peter. And the king, our anointed king, has given Peter the keys of the kingdom, which are the keys of the king. Then Peter has a right to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me too, because of the Christ in Peter. And if that's true of Peter, and he's the first one that had that revelation knowledge of the church, of Christ, and that's what the church will be built on, then you and I in the church, we're the anointed ones that make up the church of the anointed one. And we should be able to say, under his delegated authority and under his delegated anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to the same anointing. It's the same anointing. But sometimes the tradition of men makes the word of God of no effect. And we always need to have our faith when we read the word of God. Our faith needs to pull us up to the experiences of God, not pull the experiences of God down to our experience, not pull the word of God down to our experience. Because people say, well, what happens if it doesn't work? Or what happens? That's not the point. Obedience is our part. The outcome is his. So what if I preach the gospel and nobody gets saved? My job is to preach the gospel.
That's right.
I'm not going to change because of the insecurities of whatever, of people not responding. I'm not going to change. We got to be careful. Listen, we got to be careful about this. We're going to go turn your Bible to Ephesians 1, but I want to say this, that we live in a society and a generation that we are driven by the likes on our Facebook page. And the more likes, it's almost like the more votes. And the more votes, it's almost like that kind of justifies something, an action or an attitude or whatever. We don't need to live for what people like. We need to live to please God and what he likes. Because I don't know if God would like everything. I don't know if Christ would like everything on your page. I don't know if he would. And we may get likes from other people, but the likes from other people will never replace his like in our life and his pleasure in our life. So Ephesians chapter 1, I love this chapter. There's this chapter and one other chapter I want to show you real quick. Let me get there. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing. There's lots of good stuff here. Somebody read for me, starting in verse 15 and read all the way down. We'll just read down to the end of verse 19.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is in the hope of his calling, what are in the riches of the glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is an exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Tell me, for you, what are some things that first jumped off the page as you were reading this? What jumped off the page to you in verse like 15, 16, or 17?
In verse 16, where it says, do not cease to give thanks that he does not do. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that he's thankful for what they're doing.
Yeah, he's thinking of them. And that's, Sarah and I have talked about this as we're praying for you through these times. We pray for you all the time. And we give thanks. We give thanks to God for you and for what he's doing in your life and everything that he's bringing about in your life. He's working it out for good. He's completing the work that he began in you. And we give thanks for you. Because as pastors, we get to participate in God using your life to build his church. And that's a cool thing. Because we don't want to be the pastors that use you to build our church. That is empty. That is vain. There is no joy in that. We want to be the pastors that get to watch God use your life to build his church. So what else jumped out to you?
It's possible for us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Paul actually prayed, yes, that, for people to have that. And through that, that we can actually know Christ more and more, yes. know Him better.
Yeah. And there's nothing that will never end more and more and more. You'll never get to a point where it's like, oh, I know Him enough.
Right.
You may know a lot. He may have brought you, you know, He may have taught you a lot, but you'll never, in this earth, there will never be a point where, oh, enough's enough.
Yeah.
We know Him enough. And so the thrill of revelation knowledge, Paul praying that they would have a spirit, so spiritual wisdom, not human wisdom. A lot of times human wisdom is elevated to a point it doesn't, they common sense. And some people say common sense is really not that common, but spiritual sense is you know, really not common. So that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. But notice that last part in verse 17, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's not just spiritual understanding. It's not just, oh, I'm spiritual. I get nervous when I get around people who act all spiritual, like they got a whole lot of spiritual knowledge. It's not spiritual knowledge, because that kind of knowledge will puff up. Mm-hmm. It's not even just biblical knowledge. It's knowledge of Him. And the Him is Christ. So it's revelation knowledge of Christ. See, Adam, when he fell in sin with Adam and Eve, he began to live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So many times we live on a lower level, a lower plane, and because we've all been born, you know, of the contaminant of sin that was in that tree. So we live from the dimension of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when before Adam sinned, they were living from the dimension of the knowledge of God. And a lot of times we try to live in the dimension of balancing the knowledge of good and evil. So every filter in our life, we're trying to balance, is it good, is it evil? And that seems right and it seems good. Well, yeah, that's probably the best at that level. But the best in natural wisdom is still the least of supernatural wisdom. So we're called to live in the knowledge of Him. So we spend our life. We spend our life not just figuring out how to function in church. I tell you how you know a dead church. A dead church can have lots of activity, but no revelation knowledge of Him. You got knowledge about your pastor, knowledge about your denomination, knowledge about traditions, knowledge about this, knowledge about that. You can have lots of techno stuff happening. I don't know if anybody really has techno stuff happening in church, but you can have different things in church you can be busy and have lots of information, but information doesn't bring transformation. Revelation brings transformation. Right. And so it's revelation knowledge of Him and who He is. And maybe you don't have anything off the top of your head. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Do you remember any verse or any scripture that maybe you were reading one day and you were reading it and God gave you revelation knowledge? Anybody have anything like that happened in your life? And it's okay if you don't, but I just want to check. Anybody have anything?
I just want to, you know, even that next verse down, as I was just reading that, as you were talking, in 18, where it says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And to me, you know, I thought, you know, first of all, it's the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that it's in our spirit, so that we know what is the hope of His calling, His perspective.
Yeah.
That it's about His perspective. And, you know, when we get messed up and start looking at things from our own perspective and our own abilities, then, you know, we get completely out of whack.
Yes.
And we put our hopes, yes, in the wrong things.
Yes.
And then we get stressed out. And, you know, and I had that revelation today, this morning when I was worshiping. So, you know, even reading that sentence, it brought it back to me again. Mm-hmm. It's His perspective.
Yes.
What His calling is, no matter what we're doing, is because He has a plan for what He's told us to do.
Yes.
And we have to continually walk that out.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that goes along with what jumps off me is John the Baptist had a revelation of who Jesus was, mm-hmm, even though he didn't know Jesus at the time.
Yes.
And when he saw Jesus, he knew exactly who he was and says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Mm-hmm. You have to baptize me. Mm-hmm. But the people thought that John the Baptist was Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, I'm only going to baptize in water, but the one that I cannot fill his sandals is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so he had a revelation from God exactly who Jesus was.
He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
That was straight from heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. Really good. And the thing of what both of y'all are saying is, without that revelation knowledge, you're left to your own ability.
Right, which is nothing.
Yeah, which is nothing. And like we were talking about earlier, people sometimes trust in your ability.
Which throws you off.
Which, because you want to try to be the best you can be and all that. But in reality, by the grace of God, we're not limited to our ability. Mm-hmm. He's able. It's faith in him and what he can do through us. We're not doing stuff for him. He's doing stuff through us. And I'm glad you said the hope of his calling, because there's so many things in the scripture to me, but the hope of his calling. Years ago, when I felt the Lord calling me and didn't even know exactly what was happening, but I knew he was calling me, but I didn't know to describe it as a calling. But I knew he was like leading me and speaking to me about doing this for the rest of my life. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't even know that was a pastor. I was that ignorant. I didn't know. I just knew whatever this was, whatever this relationship with the word and teaching the word, you know, it was like there was a passion building and a calling. And I remember when it was like the calling, we always look at the calling from our perspective. But he's got a perspective.
Right.
It's the hope of his calling, because he's the one that picked up the phone and called. You know what I'm saying? Do you ever pick up a phone and call somebody without a hope and an expectation of like, and don't you hate when people do that? People call me sometimes and I answer the phone like, hey, and they're like, hey.
An awkward
sound. And I'm like, why are you called me? Why am I carrying the conversation? You know, you called me. But so Jesus, there's a hope in why he called. There's a hope in why he called. And so it's the hope of his calling, him getting to you know, have his desire fulfilled, not just for you and in you, but through you, so that he receives the glory.
That's so good.
So that he receives the glory of this. And there's, gosh, there's so much more in this scripture. The inheritance part, I mean, it's just huge. And then this exceeding greatness of his power toward us. I love the phrase toward us. You see that through scripture. It's his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, those two words, power, are different words. The first power, which his power toward us, is dunamis, which is miracle working power. The second word, which says working of his mighty power, is kratos, which is a Greek word that talks about dominion and authority. So it's actually his miracle working power is toward us. But that miracle working power that's toward us who believe is according to the working of his dominion and his authority. And so it's a cool dimension of looking at the two words, you know, of power there, of submitting yourself to his authority, submitting yourself to say, God, I want you to rule and reign in my life. And I want you to rule and reign through my life. There's a, your power working toward me, your power working in me. And God, I want your power working through me as I yield to your kingdom rule and to your kingdom reign. And see, revelation knowledge, I believe, begins with a heart that's willing to submit to the authority of the king.
That's right.
Even when you don't understand everything, you read, I don't understand the Bible. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to do it. Well, based on what we've talked about today, the first part of the revelation knowledge of Christ is realize that Jesus, before anyone had revelation of Jesus the Christ, Jesus had revelation of the Christ. And Jesus was committed to a lifestyle of being in the house of God and being around the word of God and being around the people of God. And then he was able to open the book and navigate the book to find where it was written. And then he heard the Holy Spirit speak about he found himself in the book. And then he could stand up in front of his own hometown, all his homies. He got to stand up in front of all of them, all the people that knew him and everything. And if you read through the rest of what we read earlier in Luke 4, a lot of those people rejected him. Mm-hmm. But the rejection of his hometown people, that actually they put him out on a cliff, they were out on a cliff and they were going to kill him. Imagine your first sermon in your hometown. You know, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that because they'd already boxed him in on who they thought he was. But Jesus said, I'm not going to live as an opinion. I'm not going to live as a prisoner to the opinion of somebody else. I know who my Father's told me I am. And so he stood up in front of them and declared who he was and said the scriptures fulfilled in your hearing. And they rejected him and they tried to kill him. That was his first message, first public message. I would have quit after that. I would have thought that's God speaking to me to confirm something. And that's the danger when we don't walk in revelation knowledge. Will allow the opinions of others or circumstances to be a false confirmation to what God is not even saying, instead of being a man, being able to open the book, find where it is written, and let the Spirit of God speak to you and let his power work in your life. So guys, my challenge to you is, we're going to close in prayer, but my challenge to you is, all this week, be in the book. All this week, sit down alone, sit down at times with your children, sit down and be in the word. Make it a habit to be in the word. And when you open the Bible, to say, Lord, help me. Help me see who you are. Help me see who I am. God, I submit to you. I don't even understand it all, but God, I submit to you. I submit to you and I ask for your help. And then just start reading. I'll never forget when I was in a Bible study, when I really surrendered my life to the Lord. I'd been in a lifestyle of drinking and everything, and I was at this Bible study, and they passed out Bibles, and I remember telling the person who was passing out the Bibles, there's nothing you can tell me about that book, meaning the Bible, written by a bunch of old monks on some island somewhere, that has anything to do with my life. And the truth is, the reason why I attacked the Bible was because I was scared. I thought, you know, if you open it, you know, stuff was going to come out. And they passed it out, and they had to help me find where it was written. And I'll never forget when the lady leading the Bible study read out loud, and we read along and followed along as she was reading. I'm telling you, I felt the Spirit of God. I wish this happened for everybody, but this is what happened to me. The words on the page started coming off the page. I remember looking cross-eyed, you know, at the words kind of coming. And then I went to the next scripture we went to, whatever it was. And as she read aloud, I read along, and the words on the page started coming off the page. And I'm going to tell you, in my life in school, I was not good in school. I was good at recess and I was good at lunch. I was not good at anything else in school. I hated reading. But I was scared of books and I was scared of the Bible. But when I opened up, there must have been something in my heart that had a humility and a sincerity, even in my ignorance. And his word opened up to me. And I'm telling you, I've never been the same since. Never got over it. And for some of you, I'm for education. I'm all for education. But you submit your education to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because a revelation from God will do what your education can't do.
That's right.
And I'm not downing education. But let's put it in its proper place. Because revelation will take you where education cannot.
Yeah.
It's true.
And what your family needs to see is you receiving revelation of Christ. Because that revelation is an invitation to transformation.
That's right.
And so I just want to pray that into you guys. Thank you for being here today and just join us as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray over everyone watching and listening that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That even the agnostic and atheist who's watching, that you would open their eyes, open their ears. Father, reveal who Jesus is to them. Break every man-made tradition that does not glorify you, and may fresh bread be opened. May fresh oil come forth, and may a spirit of revelation be released over your people so we can walk in all that you are and represent you accurately in this world. So we thank you, we praise you, and we pray that your word jumps off the page. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. God bless you.